We just getting started, baby. Did anybody see what Mr. Wardell Steph Curry did to the Portland Trail Blazers? They were nobodies. They beat the Giants. Trash. They beat the Broncos. Trash. If you ever watched Dragon Ball Z, my mans was Super Saiyan. I couldn't wear this until we actually caught a dub. And he did all of this damage in 36 minutes. Let that sink in. They beat the Eagles, trash, the Cowboys, trash, the Bengals, trash, the Jaguars, trash. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here on Rob's Two Cents. My good people, my good people. Hello, world. I'd like to welcome you guys back to the show that's hot with your boy, Rob Scott. This is Rob's Two Cents. What's going on, everybody? Hope everybody had a great week. It's been a pretty quick week. It's been long, but the week moved very quickly. And I can say I'm very happy about that. Couldn't wait for the weekend. Ooh, I've been a little stressed at work, boy. Let me tell you guys, I can't wait till I'm doing this full time, man, because this is where my heart is at. This is where my passion is at, talking sports. We saw some big things happen this past week, particularly in the NBA, as we saw the end of the NBA trade deadline. We're going to get into a lot of that. We're going to talk about who was moved, where they were moved, and who were the winners of these trades. But before we get started, I got to start off with a little small talk. I just seen the Justice League movie. I know I'm late to the party, y'all, but let me tell you, that movie was phenomenal. It was 4 hours long. Don't get me wrong, it was long, but it told such a great story. Definitely not what the first movie, told. It really went into details, and character development. And I really enjoyed that movie. It had Batman looking like a beast. Shout out to Ben Affleck, man, because like I said, when I first heard he was taking over as Bruce Wayne, as the Dark Knight, I was a little nervous, okay? You don't associate Batman with Ben Affleck, but he did a hell of a job. All the characters did. My boy Ray Fisher played a great Cyborg, and it was just a great movie to watch. So I recommend that movie. If you haven't seen it, I do plan on seeing it again just because, I'm such a fan of DC. So, Batman is my favorite superhero, because he's the only superhero with no superpowers. Yet they all fear him. And if you watch Justice League Doom, it's an animated movie, you will know why. That just shows you how deep I am into it. I watch the animated movies. I'm a big kid at heart. Which is probably one of the reasons that I love sports because, sports is an arena. It's an avenue where you can be a kid again, where you can cheer for your favorite players. You can have favorite players. You can dream to be a player in that pressure moment, taking that final shot or breaking, the plane, in a football game. So, I love when you're able to, rekindle that childhood, that inner childhood that most people seem to lose the older we get. But that's enough of small talk. Like I said, we got some big things that went down in the NBA. I want you to sit down, grab your popcorn, kick your feet up as we get into the hottest sports conversation in the nation. This is Rob's Two Cents. And I got to start by talking about the NBA trade deadline because, as you know, the trade deadline was on Thursday. It ended Thursday, March 25th, sometime in the early evening. And a lot of teams made some moves. Some teams actually made some moves with some championship aspirations in mind. You could tell some teams made moves, with the playoffs in mind. They might not think they can win a ring, but they definitely want to claim a berth in those playoffs. And we're going to break down each and every trade. I'm going to let you know what went down, and let's get into it. So the first big trade to me that really popped out to me was Rondo, who got traded from the Atlanta Hawks to the Los Angeles Clippers for Lou Williams, 2 second-round draft picks, and some cash. The amount of cash was not disclosed, but all I can say is the Clippers just got scary. And I'm going to be talking about a little bit of that later on in the segment, but playoff Rondo is real, and the Clippers were lacking in the point guard department, and what a hell of a guard to get than a player like Rajon Rondo. I'm sorry, I don't want to say Rajon. I saw an interview with him on All the Smoke. He hates when people call him Rajon. His name is Rajon. So Rajon Rondo. So now he's a Los Angeles Clipper, and I'm going to break down that dynamic of how I think that's going to spell troubles for teams in the Western Conference. But I got to get to my Bulls because, doggone it, a Chicago team finally made a big move. Nikola Vucevic and forward Al-Farouq Aminu from the Orlando Magic has been traded to the Chicago Bulls for Wendell Carter, Otto Porter, and two first-round picks. Then the Bulls sent forward Chandler Hutchinson to the Wizards for center Mo Wagner and forward Troy Brown. Fourth-year center Daniel Theis has now moved to Chicago from Boston. And then the Wizards received Daniel Gafford and Chandler Hutchinson as they then moved from the Bulls, and Boston received Luke Kornet and Moritz Wagner. So let me tell you guys, man, this was a three-team trade. So it was between the Wizards, it was between Boston, it was between the Bulls. And the Bulls have now just souped up their lineup. I'm not saying we're going to win a championship, okay? But bringing somebody like Nikola Vucevic in, you want to talk about firepower. You want to talk about dynamic. Then you got to talk about the big man from the Magic who's now a Chicago Bull. Definitely going to be getting into that a little later in the segment. So as I mentioned, just in case you guys not keeping up, the Bulls, the Wizards, and the Boston Celtics had a three-team trade. So the Bulls received forward Chandler Hutchinson. They sent Chandler Hutchinson to the Wizards. They received Mo Wagner and Troy Brown. Then Boston then sent Daniel Theis, who's a nice backup center, by the way, to the Chicago Bulls. And then the Washington Wizards received Daniel Gafford and Chandler Hutchinson for their troubles. And as Boston sent Theis to the Bulls, Luke Kornet and Mo Wagner went to the Celtics. So the Bulls came out on top with that, I want to say, out of that three-team trade, the Bulls probably got a winner in Daniel Theis. Because Daniel Theis, he's shown that he can ball. He was I believe he was starting for Boston as their starting center. And he put up some pretty good numbers. He averaged about 10 points on the per game, 5.2 rebounds per game, and 1.6 assists per game. So Daniel Theis was definitely a great pickup for the Bulls. Evan Fournier went to Boston from the Orlando Magic for 2 second-round picks. And then in a surprise to everybody, Orlando would then send their star forward, Aaron Gordon, and forward Gary Clark to Denver for guards Gary Harris, RJ Hampton, and a 2025 first-round pick. So Orlando has just completely depleted their team, which I don't understand because they were in rebuild mode. Vucevic is only like 29 or something like that. Gordon is only like 29. So you had young players, so to ship those young players off to teams where you had a pretty decent core. I know the Magic wasn't winning, but they had something to build around. But they decided that they want to go in a different route, and they sent everybody away. So now the Orlando Magic is depleted, and Denver just got better with Aaron Gordon. And speaking of Denver, they then did a trade with the Cleveland Cavaliers and sent JaVale McGee to Denver for Isaiah Hartenstein and 2 future protected second-round picks. So now Denver has just got bigger because now you don't have to rely on Bobo. You can continue to let him develop. You bring a JaVale McGee in, and we're going to discuss more about Denver in the segment when I discuss the winners of the trade deadline. In a very big surprise, Victor Oladipo from the Houston Rockets went to Miami, and Miami traded him. Miami received Oladipo by trading Kelly Olynyk, Avery Bradley, and a 2022 draft pick. Now, I don't know how much of I like that. I do love Victor Oladipo. I believe him and Jimmy might play well together, but you have to remember they're pretty much in the same position. I guess you could say you can move Jimmy to the three and allow Victor to be in at the two, or you can play him as the point, I guess. I'm interested to see how that dynamic worked, but I know Kelly Olynyk was a hell of a player. Avery Bradley was able to win a ring with the Lakers last year. We know about his time in Boston, and you know he's known to be a defensive stopper. I haven't heard too much about Avery Bradley this year, but I know Kelly Olynyk. I've personally watched Miami games where if it wasn't for him and Jimmy, I don't know where Miami would be right now. So I don't know how excited I am about the Victor Oladipo trade. However, I'm happy for Victor Oladipo to get out of that hellhole called Houston, because no offense to Houston, the city, but the Houston Rockets team are trash. I mean, trash. It makes no sense how bad they are. I almost feel sorry for John Wall, and I'm glad he's taking it like a champ right on the chin, because Houston, man, what they got up to about 10 games straight, losing streak. It's ridiculous how many games they lost. The New Orleans Pelicans add more shooting. I know they lose shooting as they trade J.J. Redick and Nikola Melli to Dallas. They got more defense as they welcomed James Johnson in. They also received Wes Iwundu and a second-round pick. The Pelicans also opted to not trade Lonzo Ball. So they still have their point guard. They just bought in James Johnson, who will bring them a little bit more toughness, a little bit more defense, because scoring is not what the Pelicans need. The Pelicans need defense. That's their problem. I think they're in the top five or top 10 of highest offensive rated teams. Excuse me. However, they can score, but they can't stop you from scoring. And that's where the problem lies. I mean, I think James Johnson will also help bring a little toughness to somebody like Zion. We know James Johnson is a black belt. Definitely going to be on this team as an enforcer. And the Pelicans might have a little bit of playoff life left in them. Kyle Lowry will stay a Raptor, ladies and gentlemen. The Raptors decided not to trade Kyle Lowry. From what I was understanding, that the Lakers were very interested in acquiring Kyle Lowry. They were offering Dennis Schroeder. I think they were offering one of the Morris twins. But the Raptors wanted THT. They wanted Taylor Horton Tucker. And the Lakers said, no, we're willing to play ball. Not the Morris twin, I'm sorry. They were looking to trade Marc Gasol and Dennis Schroeder. But the Raptors wanted THT. And the Lakers said no. And with the Lakers denying them that, the Raptors decided to keep Kyle Lowry. So he'll be a Toronto Raptor at least for the rest of this season. As I mentioned in one of my earlier shows, LaMarcus Aldridge and the Spurs were in talks about him having a contract buyout, and they have now officially completed the buyout of his contract. So now LaMarcus Aldridge joins Andre Drummond as one of those big-time free agents that teams are still looking at to look into the buyout market and to bring them in as a free agent. The Golden State Warriors have made a pair of trades as they send Brad Wanamaker to the Charlotte Hornets and forward Marquese Chris, who's been out of the lineup, to the San Antonio Spurs. He's been out of this lineup due to a broken leg, so I doubt he comes back this season, but he has been moved to the San Antonio Spurs. Then, speaking back on the Raptors traded backup guard Matt Thomas to Utah for a draft pick, and per Blake Murphy, per Blake Murphy of The Athletic, the pick is the Golden State second round pick in 2021. So the trade that the Raptors sent backup guard Matt Thomas to Utah for is for a 2021 pick that they received from the Golden State Warriors. It's going to be a second round pick. And then there was another three-team trade between the 76ers, the Knicks, and OKC. The 76ers got George Hill, and the Knicks forward Ignas Brazdeikis. I hope I'm saying his name right. Now, so the 76ers get George Hill, and they got the forward Ignas. The Knicks is going to get the swing man Terrence Ferguson, and the Thunder gets Knicks guard Austin Rivers, 76 center Tony Bradley, and a second round pick in 2025 from Philadelphia as well. So I like George Hill going to the 76ers. It gives them more depth at that guard position, especially with Seth Curry, being in and out of the lineup with a little injury, also with COVID. You have a little bit more stability at that guard position. And I really feel like if Joel Embiid is able to come back to MVP form, the 76ers and the Brooklyn Nets are going to be the creme de la creme of the Eastern Conference. Then Nemanja Bjelica will now be joining the Miami Heat, as the Kings has traded him for guard for forward Mo Harkless and Chris Silver. So I like Bjelica going to the Miami Heat. He's going to bring more shooting. I don't know if he will quite be the person that replaces Kelly Olynyk, but you kind of got a tit-for-tat thing there. So great job by the Miami organization on making this happen. The Detroit Pistons trade guard DeLon Wright to the Sacramento Kings for Corey Joseph and 2 second-round picks. So Corey Joseph making his way back to the Eastern Conference, as you know. No, I'm sorry. He used to play with the San Antonio Spurs. So he's going to be making a trip to the Eastern Conference, as he's going to be playing with Detroit now. And then Toronto, they dealt reserve guard Terrence Davis to the Sacramento Kings for a future second-round pick. So as you guys see, I'm sorry. I know it sounds like I'm mumbling over words, man. Let me tell you guys, there was so much action happening yesterday as teams were making a mad dash to get these trades in before the deadline ended. And let me just tell you guys, there were some big winners from this trade deadline, because we have to discuss now. This is where I break it down. This is where I get philosophical on you, because we got to break down the winners. And I got to start off with the Clippers, because there was, like I said, a lot of great moves were made as teams added key pieces for the upcoming postseason. But the Clippers, to me, made one of the best moves that they could have made, because they added Rajon Rondo. Now, granted, Rondo has only been, he's been in and out of the lineup. He's only played 27 games this season. And not to mention, in those 27 games, he's only averaged 3.9 points per game, along with 3.5 assists and 2 rebounds. However, he's the floor general that the Clippers need. Make no bones about it. Rondo is going to get the Clippers into their sets. He's going to help players like Kawhi Leonard, like Paul George, not have to be the playmakers on this team. And I believe that's where the Clippers were clashing heads at, because if you look at it, Paul George, and in particular Kawhi Leonard, were trying to become playmakers. Right now, I believe Kawhi Leonard, he leads the team in assists. And with you bringing somebody in like Rondo, you're going to put everybody back into their natural spots. You're going to ask a Reggie Jackson to not be so much of a playmaker, because Reggie Jackson is a guard that scores. So you're going to allow Reggie Jackson to score. I mean, look at what Reggie did the other day. As the Clippers played the Spurs, Reggie was not relied upon to come in to score, especially you got Kawhi Leonard sitting out, Ibaka sitting out. You just sent Lou Williams to the Hawks, for Rondo. So, and Rondo didn't play, of course, because he's making his way to your team via trade. And Reggie Jackson put up 28 points on the Spurs, and the Clippers were able to win despite all those people not being there. The Clippers were truly lacking in this department of a floor general. Now, Lou Williams, unfortunately, you do lose him to the Atlanta Hawks. But as I mentioned, he was more of a scoring guard, and he was not having his best year this year. I don't think Lou Williams has been the same since the bubble fiasco, where most sports analysts has dubbed him Lemon Pepper Lou. I still can't get over that one. But yeah, now you allow Lou to go to Atlanta to rub off on Trae Young, to show him the tricks of the trade. And now I wonder who's going to start. Are you going to start Rondo, or are you going to let Pat Beverly continue to be the starter when he's back? Because Pat Beverly is not a floor general, okay? He's not a big-time scorer. He was there for his defensive prowess, but even that has lost some steam because now that he's not playing defense the way he used to, he now, instead of being an asset on the floor, he is now a liability on the floor. And that's not a good look for the Los Angeles Clippers, which I believe is one of the reasons that they were knocked out in the second round by the Denver Nuggets last season in the playoffs. So I'm not too concerned about regular season Rondo, though. See, I'm talking, when I talk about Rondo, I'm talking about playoff Rondo. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, playoff Rondo is a real thing. Because when the playoffs come around, Rondo games gets elevated. Let's look at the last postseason. Rondo averaged 8.9 points a game, 6.6 assists a game, and 4.3 rebounds a game. So what he did was he helped LeBron in the playmaking department. He allowed LeBron to sometimes play off the ball. He allowed LeBron to not have to be the only playmaker for that team. One of the reasons that Dennis Schroeder was brought in was because they lost Rondo and free agency as he signed with the Atlanta Hawks. Not to mention, Rondo's probably one of the better help defenders in the league, as he also had 1.4 steals during the postseason, and he won a ring. One of the few players to win a ring with both the Boston Celtics and the Los Angeles Lakers. So the Lakers don't need, the Clippers don't need a scoring guard. They need a PG that's going to get them in their sets. They need a point guard that's going to navigate the pace of the game. And they need a point guard to feed the monster that's known as Kawhi Leonard. Also, you can't deny the fact that Rondo is not turnover prone, as he also only averaged 2.1 turnovers per game last postseason as well. Plus, you cannot deny the fact that there is a familiarity between Tyronn Lue and Rondo, as Coach Tyronn Lue was the head assistant for Doc Rivers on that Boston Celtics team that won in 2008, and he was a mentor to Rajon Rondo. So I believe that with them being reunited, Coach Lue knowing exactly what he's going to get out of Rondo, I believe the Clippers now have just put themselves into a real-life title contention. Now, the only question is, can they stay healthy? Because Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Rajon Rondo are all injury-prone. They're fragile. Now, granted, we have seen Rondo complete in a playoff game with one arm. I don't know if you guys remember back in 2011 when the Boston Celtics met the Miami Heat in game 4, I believe Rajon Rondo fell down awkwardly as him and Dwayne Wade got tangled up going for a loose ball. He broke his fall with his hand, but he dislocated his elbow, which looked very nasty. He went to the locker room. He came back out in the third quarter, and he propelled that Boston Celtics team to win that game and to even up that series. So, you cannot sleep on the toughness of Rondo, but we do know he's had issues with his hands. He's had issues with his, I forgot what they call him, but he's had injuries with the upper part of his body. And we know how Kawhi likes to take load management. You know, he just sat out against the Spurs due to a sore foot. Paul George's shoulder hasn't quite gotten right since he's had that surgery. So they're all injury prone. But if you're telling me the Clippers are going to be healthy, I would not sleep on the Los Angeles Clippers because of the fact that now they have a true point guard, ladies and gentlemen. Rondo can make history again because not only is he one of the few players, I believe is only two, if I'm not incorrect about that, but he would not only be one of the two or few players that has won a ring with Boston and LA, but he can also be the only player that won a ring with the Los Angeles Lakers and the Los Angeles Clippers, as if the Clippers win this year, that would be their first ring in franchise history. Got a lot to keep our eyes on with these Los Angeles Clippers. Not to mention, they are looking at the buyout market at LaMarcus Aldridge and Andre Drummond. So I would say LaMarcus would be a better choice because of his scoring. You could bring him off the bench. He's a great perimeter shooter. He's great down low. LaMarcus can get his own shot in the post. I believe LaMarcus will be a great addition to this team. So just something to keep our eyes on when we're talking about the Los Angeles Clippers. But I got to get to my Bulls. As y'all know, I'm from Chicago. Shot City, ride with me. Let's take a ride. Because the Bulls won big. Because if you want to talk about firepower, as I mentioned, Vucevic is firepower. He's been a beast this year. He got his second All-Star nod and putting up huge numbers. He's averaging a career best 24.5 points per game along with 11.8 rebounds. That pick and roll combination with Zach LaVine, who's also received his first All-Star nod and himself is averaging 28.1 points per game, is going to be hard to guard. He is just what the doctor ordered as the Bulls prepare to try to make a playoff run as they currently sit in 10th place in the Eastern Conference and hope to make their first appearance in the playoffs since 2017 when Dwayne Wade last played for us. The Bulls have also added Al-Farouq Aminu and Daniel Tice, which now gives them size and depth at the forward and center positions. Great moves for the Chicago Bulls. I am so happy that we finally have somebody that's willing to spend a little money to bring some great players to this organization because Chicago is a big-time market, and I can never understand why we can never get players to come here. You get what you play for. You pay for cheap, you get bad. You pay for good, you might get great. But if you pay for great, you might win a ring, people. Let's keep on moving. Last but not least, I also really love the moves that the Nuggets made. Adding Aaron Gordon and JaVale McGee brings them size to combat against the bigger teams in the Western Conference, i.e. the Lakers, i.e. Utah. I can even say i.e. Phoenix because DeAndre Ayton ain't no little boy. Now, if we look at this projected starting lineup for the Denver Nuggets, it's a tough lineup. You got Jamal Murray, Will Barton, Michael Porter Jr., now Aaron Gordon, and the big man Nikola the Joker Jokic. Gordon is going to bring some much-needed firepower as Denver has been up and down this year. The former Slam Dunk champion is averaging 14.6 points a game and 4.2 assists a game and 6.6 rebounds a game. Not to mention, he's shooting his highest percentage from distance in his career as he's averaging 37.5% from deep. Now, you also bring in a JaVale McGee who brings his championship experience as he's a three-time champion, twice with the Warriors and one time with the Lakers last season. And he brings his defense to that second unit, and he allows Bobo to continue his development, and he allows Nikola Jokic to get a longer break because they're not necessarily getting smaller because he exits the game, and Nikola, is not the best defender. So JaVale McGee is definitely going to be an asset to this team. The Mile High City definitely got better. I like Norman Powell going to the Trailblazers too, bringing more scoring to that team. And I love, I don't want to say I love Victor Oladipo going to the Heat, but with them also getting Bielitsa, the Heat look to be a strong team too. However, the three teams that I spoke about, being the Bulls, being the Nuggets, and being the Clippers, I feel like they made significant improvements to their roster, and they're bound to make some postseason noise this season once the playoffs start. Got a couple quick hitters before the show ends. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers were able to re-sign Ndamukong Suh as he re-signed with the Bucks for a one-year deal worth $10 million with $9 million guaranteed and $1 million in incentives. The Bucks are primed to be a great defensive team once again as they've been able to keep their defensive unit together and they look poised to make another run for a Super Bowl championship. We also found out that LeBron is going to be missing at least a month with that high ankle sprain, which spells trouble for the Los Angeles Lakers. As we see, without LeBron, they are trash. They need AD or LeBron to come back as quickly as possible, but Do not come back if you're not 100%, because as I mentioned, with the moves the Clippers have made, with the moves Denver has made, with the way Phoenix is playing, with the moves Portland has made, because I do like Norman Powell playing for this team. We're talking about an extra 19 points coming in to your team now. And then not to mention, you still got to deal, if you somehow make it out the West, you got to deal with the Beast of the East, which is, I believe, is going to be either Philly or Brooklyn. So the Lakers definitely need LeBron to heal up. To come back at 100%, so do Anthony Davis, because if those two players are not there together on your side of the court, the Los Angeles Lakers, in the words of Vince McMahon, has no chance in hell of winning the NBA championship this year. Also, I'd like to give a shout-out to Patriots offensive lineman Justin Heron, as he and a Phoenix resident named Murray Rogers rescued a 71-year-old woman from a potential sexual assault in Kiwanis Park back on Sunday of March 21st. So him and his friend was out. They were walking the park. They noticed an elderly woman was being pushed down to the ground. I believe in the reports they said that they were pulling down her pants. He was pulling down her pants, and, you know, he hit her. And now Mr. Heron, he saw what was going on, and him and his friend ran over there, tackled the guy, held him down until the police got there. And as a homage to him, he was honored on Wednesday, this past Wednesday, by the Arizona Police Department for his role in the rescue, and he has been dubbed a hero. Last but not least, Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield will fight May 29th. The fight is on, ladies and gentlemen. Even though this is an exhibition bout and both fighters are way past their prime, this is still a very much anticipated fight. This will be their third encounter in this legendary rival. The first encounter happened back in November of 1996 when Holyfield beat Tyson in the 11th round after the ref stopped the match in a huge upset win due to stoppage by the ref, and he won the WBA heavyweight title. And then we know in the famous rematch that happened 7 months later in June of 97, that's when Tyson was disqualified for biting a part of Holyfield's ear off. So you got to imagine, even though these guys are older, I don't want to say old, we're going to say older, a little bit wiser, a little bit saltier around the beard area. These are still two guys that I doubt anybody would want to see on the street and put their knuckles up with. I believe it's going to be a little bit of animosity there. There's going to be a little bit of a grudge there, because Mike Tyson didn't like the fact that at the height of his career was Evander Holyfield. Pretty much after the Holyfield fight was when Tyson's career kind of went down the drain. So I'm pretty sure Tyson's going to be looking to exact a little bit revenge. I doubt he takes it easy against him like he did against Roy Jones Jr. I think in this one, we're going to see some real blows get thrown. And I'm actually excited to be watching this fight. I definitely will be tuning in, my good people. And that's the end of the show, y'all. I appreciate you guys for sticking around with your boy. You know, I got to bring it to you on this Friday night. Hope you guys be watching this Saturday morning. Been a great show. Definitely can't wait to see these new players debut with their teams in the NBA. And I'm ready for the postseason. Hopefully, players start to begin to get healthy and teams begin to get in shape as the postseason is about to start. I'm ready, baby. Man, I hope you guys have a great evening, man. Remember, like this video, share this video, subscribe. Hit that notification bell to get notified every time Rob's Two Cents drop a new episode. Also, remember, I'm on YouTube. I'm also on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm on TikTok. Follow your boy on social media, Rob's Two Cents. You see how it's spelled? Look at it. You see how that's spelled? Hope to see you guys on Tuesday morning as I'll be recording my next episode Monday night. Hope you guys enjoy the weekend. Kick your feet up, relax. But remember, when Monday comes around, we got new goals to obtain, and it's time to obtain them. Love you guys, man. Hope you guys have a great evening. Have a great weekend. And remember to be great yourselves. And you know the slogan, baby. We gone. There's a bigger fight going on. There's a much bigger agenda than the streets. And I know sometimes it's hard to see that far in front of us, but we have to look past the illusions, look past the delusions of grandeur, and look at the bigger picture. We need to become better versions of ourselves each and every day. Fight for what you believe in. Because if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. We just getting started, baby. You guys know the slogan now. Hope you all have a great evening. And we gone.